Peace and love, peace and love. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement. This is your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore. And we are talking about my commitments as it relates to growth narratives. And yes, a part two to the follow-up. If you didn't listen to the last episode, you may want to cycle back. And I give a little broad, nonlinear overview of what, you know, the whole idea of growth narratives. So, as I welcome, as you welcome me into your universe, and I welcome you into mine, in our path to be, you know, we think about being living or loving universal vibrations. One of the things I talked about in the last episode are the principles of, like, just some principles, laws of nature, what have you. And there's one principle, vibration, that I just think is super important. And that is an idea that everything, nothing's really resting, everything is moving, and everything vibrates at a certain frequency. And I think that that's super important, you know, because movement being constant. So understanding that, like for me, you know, to understand that means the world, right? Because that means that whatever is happening right now, nothing is permanent, right? So if I recognize nothing being permanent, and that things are moving, I have a little bit more agency, you know, in this moment, right? So how do I get, so my commitments as it relates to this, this could be like a 16 part series here. For me, I've been, you know, very so much so kind of dancing with a lot of what's been happening with you know, the racial reckoning in the U.S. Or maybe globally, and the political element of what's going on here. And I can't help but to kind of zoom out and look at history and how there are certain moments in time, you know, for me, as a person who's classified as Black or African-American, hyphenated and all that other good stuff, given a color and hyphenated. No, I think we, you know, we choose these things in certain times of history, which are another other episodes. But what's interesting about these things is that it's all a part of a larger drama. Rise and fall, in and out. Now it's getting more and more intense as of late. But I've noticed the way in which a story is told is super important as it relates to empowering or disempowering, enraging or enlightening, right? And some things just have to strike in a certain way. But when one is stuck in that, it can't fully manifest. So I think that what's happening right now in our country politically, and what's happening racially, and what has always been happening, it has, you have different types of storytellers. Some storytellers are going to focus on the drama of it, just like you have different types of movies, right? As I was, and while I'm in appreciation, and I value the folks who are bringing the movie, telling the movie and the story, and the way in which you'll see, I won't cast any kind of judgment or evaluation on it, but just as it is, I'm particularly attracted to and committed to the ways in which the stories are told that give if it's darkness, that gives some light, right? And if there's light, then that accounts for the darkness, of course, right? So just understanding that's the whole polarity piece, as I was mentioning, in terms of what I am committed to doing for myself, knowing that how I want my mind, body, and reality to be, is be committed to growth narratives. So I will notice things. I will interact with and do my, you know, as it relates to professionally or even personally, when these things impact, if it is something negative, you don't want to just ignore pain or ignore the darkness or ignore anything that's negative. But my commitment is towards the growth narrative. So, for example, when I get an injury, I'm going to notice the injury. I'm going to pay attention, like slow down, sit down. What does this mean? But my mind is going to be focused on the healing. And my sitting with the injury is going to be only so much that I recognize that it's an injury. So the growth narratives for me is just the healing piece and the what is going to be expansive and constructive. Now, there are folks who specialize, like doctors who specialize in the injury and examining it and researching how people get injured. Just like for reality, there are people who examine social issues from a standpoint of what has happened and how people are wronged, etc. And I think that's a super important. We need to know these things because they're important. Our history is an interesting history globally. But I mean, broader, it's not just, you know, I think in the U.S. we have sometimes it's a narrow focus just because that's just how it is. Sometimes I can't speculate as to how purposeful it is, but I just know that it can be very, you know, narrow or limited in terms of, like, I'll give you an example. So, like, you know, when we think about poverty, you know, here in America is like, okay, the amount of money, and everything's all relative, right? So it is important. Money, resources, you know, but when I learned this a while back, but you know, poverty in terms of some other places in the world are how many calories you can take in your body a day, because there's no even roof, you know, there's a dirt floor and the material resources aren't there, so everything becomes relative, right? So then when we deal with racially, which is it could be an entirely different podcast or subject, but that piece becomes one in which there's tons of like systematic, as you all know, elements. And so people debate that. You know, I don't like to get in debates with people about things that are well beyond. I just want some, hey, what are we going to do? I'm more so like the action. But if you, no matter what side of the fence you're on in terms of institutionalized racism or what have you, there are differences in ways that people are treating, people treat people. And some are tied to other invisible things, and human beings have bias. So those are things that people can't argue against, right? But they can argue. There are some folks, maybe these folks may be ostracized now, they may be a minority, but they'll argue against the idea of, like, you know, privilege or like systematic oppression. But even something like privilege is, you know, could be relative according to how privileged is the person who doesn't think that they have a culture or isn't connected to themselves spiritually, or, you know, and what the lack of resources would do to allow one to really focus on internal, and then that can become, or the resilience muscles that those have been through things in their life and how they can lean on those right now. So, you know, it's kind of like relative in terms of like what your measuring stick is, you know, if it's like resources and money, which is, we're in a capitalist society, there's a lot of people who aren't privileged, and, you know, you have the legacy of, you know, working in this country and who can work and who can't work and slavery and a number of things. So there are a bunch of elements that add to that. Well, when it comes to growth narratives, a commitment to how are we going to heal, you know, but sometimes that assumes that there's even something to heal from, right? But, you know, that's important. What's the expansion? What is the promise for the future? What is the binding energy? So if the universal love movement is a commitment towards a growth narrative, in terms of just a lot of these episodes are more about what we can do while we're not, you know, ignoring or demonizing or casting any judgment on those other elements, but recognizing that there is a space, or it is, the life is ripe for individuals to speak on the expansive ways. And what I've learned about quantum physics and the brain and the body and everything as of late has me like ever so much more committed. So what does this look like in reality, right? So, because this is could be very nebulous myself at times. So, you know, right now we have, let's look politically. We look racially and then politically. Those are the two big things. Racially, this country is dealing with a number of things. There are a number of, like, even, you know, and I don't like to kind of invoke things that are like of lower vibration, but I guess I would say there are a number of calamities and casualties that are happening. And, you know, a lot associated to race. Some people don't associate it with race. They're like, it happens no matter what, you know, but the what's being publicized as a race, some people say, no, it's that's been happening for a while. But when it comes to race in this country, we know that, you know, black folks or African-American individuals have a there's a history of slavery that happened. That's not debatable. And there is a history of, you know, institutional structures that are that stem from slavery, not necessarily, not allowing space and room or fair treatment to those individuals, from dogmas and scientific research that discount contributions to civilization to, you know, more direct things like, you know, justice, what you see on television impacting one's mind of a person who may be a jury member so that they could more likely say, hey, that person did it. You know, it's lots of stuff like bias. So recognizing all of that and knowing it is, because I think to be committed to growth narratives, you have to know what it is. It's not ignoring. Knowing what is, my first thing for me is being objective and curious about all sides, right? And what, oh, so what are other people saying about these things that are not, you know, for me as a, you know, black person raised in America or a person who is labeled as black in America, it's like, oh, I've experienced all that stuff to be my truth or my reality and the reality for people around me. What are people saying that don't think that's true? I'm being curious about that. And then what is their, you know, version? And I've heard some interesting things, and maybe that's an episode, right? And things that I'm like, oh, I never thought about that. I never accounted for these elements, you know, the other sides of this and different histories and different relative pieces of information, which some may say are clearly untrue and could say you're racist or whatever. But it is information. It's relative to someone else. But then after that, relative to what I have experienced and I've known to be true, what they have known to be true, what kind of narrative am I committed to recognizing the full scope of information? And sometimes it just, the lack of information is better than it's better than partial information, right? So it's kind of either having no information about whether it be the racial stuff or the political stuff and just being about, okay, expecting the best. But if being informed is important, but if one is informed to be informed and be committed to a growth narrative, it's like, let me be informed about what every vantage point is saying. And then and being maybe that seer, as I said before, kind of like a non-judgmental or an objective observer, and then being committed to what you want life to be for yourself and for the world. Now, we know that we don't operate in little silos, and what happens in the world impacts us. But, you know, not but, and at the same time, we do author our reality and what happens from a quantum physics type of perspective. So when these things, like as it relates to race or as it relates to this politics or any of these things come and meet you directly in terms of there's action that needs to be taken, whether it be in terms of job or even something like the coronavirus, right? The coronavirus is another one in terms of like when thinking about growth narratives. So, you know, we have a virus and there are people who don't believe in it and there are people who believe in it. But there is, you know, there is what it is as it impacts me. So if I'm committed to staying healthy and being able to positively impact the health of others. You see, that's a different than I'm committed to not getting the virus, right? Or to, you know, I don't know. And there are some folks who are committed to the vaccine, that may be a growth narrative, I don't know. But, you know, there are different ways in which we can look at and paint a future that has a constructive upward slope versus a plateau or downward slope. And there are folks there's more than enough folks out there who are going to keep it real. And I'm doing my little air quotes or, you know, continue to expose that. And I need those folks. I need everyone. I value because I'm able to see. I need all these things to exist so I can see a story from all perspectives so that then being committed to a growth mindset or growth narrative. So in conclusion, I'll say that a growth narrative is not ignoring life, but understanding life as it is and being able to chart a path forward for oneself in terms of how you're thinking about life at the moment and how you're telling a story and authoring it in a way that allows for expansion, constructive, action and constructive, influence in your life and growth. This is an invitation, I always say that, feel free to inbox me, with DM, I guess they would say, Facebook or, Instagram, I'm CARLSMOORE, and that's on Twitter and even Instagram. Sending love and light as we continue towards this expansive future.